This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's coming along to 7:07 on the evening edition with Hezril and Kelvin. In the meantime, though, we're going to move on to the role of Kuala Lumpur's mayor and what it entails. Sources have told Star Metro that current mayor Dato' Nur Hisham Ahmad Dahlan will likely be replaced when his contract ends on the 2nd of October.
That's right. They've said that the potential candidate comes from DBKL. He's worked there for decades and is well-versed in local government matters and bylaws. The new mayor will have to address existing issues like COVID-19, homelessness, and businesses run by undocumented migrants. And I think moving ahead also, just looking at what happened recently, they will likely have to address the flash floods that just happened in KL.
Yeah, that's a good point to bring up. And I think... you know, it's interesting. I think among older generations, you know, the KL residents, the KL mayor and DBKL, you know, they may be more familiar with, you know, what that position entails. But perhaps for younger Malaysians, especially living out, you know, it's like, what is the relevance of that role, especially considering that, you know, I think we've seen, for the most part, you know, the Federal Territories Minister always speak on issues when it comes to city-related issues and not really hearing from the mayor, right?
Yeah, I think that might be part of it. But, you know, when we did do, you know, some look into how the two roles sort of differ between the FT minister as well as the mayor, they kind of intersect a lot and there isn't a clear enough difference sometimes in what they do, and that has been an issue in the past, right? You have one, the FT minister, who is elected, but you also have a mayor who is appointed. So whose decision do you end up which decision ends up favoring more so in the rakyat's end, right? We have to kind of look at that as well.
Yeah, good point. So I guess to delve into that a little deeper, and I think we both also need an education on the role of the KL mayor. We'll actually be speaking after this to Derek Fernandez, lawyer and Petaling Jaya City Councillor. He'll help us understand what the role is and, you know, what kind of things potential candidates should wield if they're going to be considered for the position. So do stay tuned for that. In the meantime, our lines are always open for you. You can send your thoughts through, but do stay tuned here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bole for Malaysia. Ha. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 7:13 on the Evening Edition with Hezril and Kelvin, and we're looking at the role of KL's mayor and what it entails. This comes after sources have told Star Metro that current mayor Dato' Nur Hisham Ahmad Dahlan will likely be replaced when his contract ends on the 2nd of October. So to run us through what it entails and what qualifications potential candidates should wield, we're going to hear now from Derek Fernandez, lawyer and PJ City Councillor. Derek, thanks for joining us this evening.
Selamat petang, and thank you for having me, and selamat petang to all your listeners.
Our pleasure to have you. First off, can you please help us understand the role of Kuala Lumpur's mayor? What does it entail?
The mayor is the chief executive officer of local government in Kuala Lumpur. That's what really the office of Dato' Bandar is, in which basically he runs local authority in Kuala Lumpur. Now, he is considerably has more power than the Dato' Bandars of other cities or the YDPs in other states, simply because in Kuala Lumpur, there are no councillors. So he is the decision maker as far as all matters are concerned, only subject to his boss, the minister, and I'll go into that later. So he is, like I said, the chief executive officer. And that means he makes decisions or has power in a wide variety of matters that touch the everyday life of KL residents and KL businesses, from licensing, planning and development control, various approvals, permits, advertising, road, and so on and so forth. So these are the usual functions of local government.
What experiences should candidates who are considered for the role possess?
Okay, I think the most important qualification that is required to be the Datuk Bandar or the mayor of Kuala Lumpur is integrity. And this is a very, very difficult qualification to have because it requires the Datuk Bandar to sometimes do things or make decisions which are occasionally at odds to the wishes of his or her political master. Now, integrity would be my number one. Number two, the person must have a strong character and be a good manager because he or she is going to manage thousands of staff. He or she is going to have to deal with politicians, residents, various stakeholder groups, and he or she must have a strong character. In other words, to be decisive, to be clear, to be able to engage. Now, in addition to those human skills, the technical skills that would be required, I think, has been written about in many of the newspapers. He or she should certainly be well versed in local government, in running local government, having experience in either municipal level or having experience in city level, in other states, to have some experience in public administration, either as a civil servant or as a professional or as a person who has dealt with the public services. He or she should have some background in public engagement with residents, in other groups, and be basically service-orientated. So these are, of course, knowledge of basic bylaws and more detailed laws. You don't have to have knowledge of a whole lot of them, but certainly a working knowledge of local government framework and laws and functions is certainly an important criteria.
Right. And on that note, Derek, what type of backgrounds have past mayors had? Is there a particular sort of similarity that runs across them?
Well, we have a wide variety, but mainly they come from government service background, former YDPs, former mayors. For instance, the present mayor, Dato' Noor Hisham, he came back from, he was the YDP and / mayor now, the post today is under Dato' Bandar, but YDP at that time of Subang Jaya, city, municipal council then, now it's the city council, and a number of other mayors before that, all at government sector background and many, most from local authority background. I think Kuching had an interesting choice. They have a chief executive officer, so they did in fact take a person from the private sector to come in who basically, although they call him, he's not actually the mayor, but they, in a sense, he is exercising the chief executive officer for the city council, has a professional background or a management background. So certainly, you're looking at that. You're looking at government sector as well as a professional background or persons who are qualified. So there are many people outside the civil service who are qualified to manage and to be able to run a city council.
What has the track record been like for past mayors?
Okay, I first of all, I'd like to, in fact, I do not know whether it's confirmed he's going. I mean, they certainly can extend the mayor beyond his contract period. Many mayors have served more than 2 years in Kuala Lumpur. But in the event Dato' Noor Hisham Abdul Dahlan is leaving or is retiring and his contract is not extended, well, I first of all like to thank him for his service. In terms of track record, this is something that it depends on whose perspective you're looking at. There have been a number of outstanding, massive problems in Kuala Lumpur in planning and development control, resulting in lawsuits. At the same time, Dato has done as a lot of good also in Kuala Lumpur in many of his programs. And herein lies the thing that most people don't understand about the mayor of Kuala Lumpur. It is an extremely difficult position because very often the Dato' Bandar is put in a terrible situation where he has to take directions from his political masters, in some cases ministers, in some cases politicians, to do certain things which he knows is not correct or is not the proper procedure. I think in the Asad Kayamas case, you could see the testimony and evidence of a former mayor of Kuala Lumpur basically saying that written instructions were given to him and he has to follow them. And therein lies the difficulty of determining a true track record when the mayor has to operate under conditions whereby it's difficult to determine whether it was his decision or that decision was forced upon him, resulting in a situation where people are unhappy. As far as the former mayor, the current mayor, who if he leaves will be the former mayor, well, his track record as a YDP in Subang Jaya was quite good. So there's no reason why when he was mayor of Kuala Lumpur, that should not have followed. And like I said, there's a lot of positive things which he has done. But I believe that there are some things that have fallen short of what the public expectation is. I think you have the Kiara land situation, you've got the Titi Waksa land situation, you've got the KL city plan with all those development orders. But when you examine in closer detail, that's not his fault. In many cases, we are having a difficult situation in Kuala Lumpur simply because of the City of Kuala Lumpur Act or the Federal Capital Act of 1960, which seems to give the minister, although giving the minister a power to direct the Dato' Bandar on general policy matters, has been abused in the past, whereby the politicians begin to instruct mayors to do things on very, very specific matters that create a lot of public dissent and a lot of public anger. So I don't envy that position, and I believe that he has done a commendable job in the circumstances, because the political framework has not been changed. Even when the, now it's of course under a PN, it was a PH before, but the same system of doing things was carried on, and the government did not amend the law to stop direct interference by a minister into the functions of the Dato' Bandar.
Right, and you've touched on some of the issues that have cropped up in KL consistently. You touched on development, the sort of developments when it comes to public spaces. Are there other persistent issues in the city of KL that have still not been solved?
Yeah, these issues have not been solved. Everything I've said now has ended up in court. Great anger, great distrust by residents against the government. Regardless, I'm not talking about one or the other. It's both governments. The same level of distrust in the management of Kuala Lumpur is still present. The lack of public engagement. We notice that in public hearings, they're very reluctant to divulge documents and information. The so-called transparency, accountability, competency. These matters have not been delivered to the satisfaction of the residents of Kuala Lumpur, because the system has not been overhauled in terms of the framework in which it is supposed to operate as a modern city. That is not to say that the government servants or the Dato' Bandar did not do their best, but there seems to be a political reluctance to want to carry this. I think the simplest case is a case called, I think it's referred to as the Kiara City Wangsa case, where the residents had been called under Rule 5 to be heard in relation to a development of a piece of open space or a utility land for some condos. And of course, in that particular case, they had gone to court because they said that it was unfair. When they asked for things like traffic studies, so on and so forth, nothing was given to them. They are supposed to object without any documentation or any effective documentation. And they actually won their case in the Court of Appeal. And shockingly, at that time, the former government, but I don't know whether the current minister has a chance to review it, has actually appealed the decision, basically not willing to give this information to the public, information that one would have thought is very basic, it's transparent, it should be given so they can look at these documentation and make proper objections. So that unwillingness to engage with the residents of KL in a professional manner is what is continuing. I don't know how the new minister views this. He may want to look and review this, but these are nagging problems. They've not gone away.
And I guess part of the solution to solve all that would definitely be opening that up to having it be one that is an elected position as opposed to one that is appointed. What else can we do to make this role more independent?
Well, certainly. You see, Dato' Bandar currently, which master does he serve? And it's a difficulty for him or her when they sit in that office. I mean, for starters, you have a building called Dewan Bandar Raya Kuala Lumpur, where the mayor, the chief executive officer of local government, sits. But in that same building, you have room for a minister and room for let's say, a minister or a deputy minister are sitting within that building. It makes him extremely difficult for him to do his job. Because if he wants to do his job and makes a decision and somebody's unhappy, they'll just go to the next floor or the next room and say, I'm not happy, can you intervene in this matter? And certainly, by having local government elections, it would be in law easier for the mayor to be accountable directly to the people, because the people will decide whether he or she performs. And the performance is not by the minister or by somebody else deciding whether they want him or they want to recommend somebody else or so on and so forth. So obviously when the person who has a right to appoint you or remove you is sitting over your head, then you often have to do things to please that person because you feel that your job security is based on that person's decision. And that's why the greatest and most important element of local government elections is accountability. Accountability by the local population who are being taxed by a local authority to pick their leader. And that obviously is led. Now, of course, if that's not going to happen, and both sides of the political parties have turned that down, as you know, I think YB Zuraida, who served under PH and now serving under PN, proposals were shot down by with all kinds of reasons which actually cannot be accepted. And local government elections is not wanted by so far all the governments. Then there should be a better degree of democratization of local government. Mm. That is, better public participation by law, which means simple amendments to Rule 5 and other rules that are obstacles to public participation should be done immediately and promptly under the present regime, and even whatever regime, they should do that, so that members of the public have at least the right to be heard in relation to important matters, and that right comes with the right to have information.
With that, Derek, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you so much. Good night.
Good night. That was Derek Fernandez touching on the role of the KL mayor, as there are talks that Dato' Nur Hisham Ahmad Dahlan may be replaced when his contract ends on the 2nd of October. In the meantime, keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.